So what number are we in now? We're moving to 13. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that your spirit will take over. And you would entrench your truth in our hearts. So my number 13. Let's go. Let's read it together. We'll first talk about, put the topic on it and all the 1, 2, 3, go. Polluters of heavenly atmosphere. Repellers of prosperity. All right, 1, 2, 3, go. Givers of attitude. Complainers. People who don't cooperate. Gossipers, backbiters. Lovers of positions. Ungrateful. Unthankful. Those who never have an opinion. Those who are too busy to come. Those who force their opinions on others. Lazy people, the faithless. So when you see yourself being like this, you need to arrest yourself and know that you are a suspect. And when you see people behave like this, ask them what's wrong with you. Don't allow them to tell you nothing. Because then you can give them the tape and tell them where they should focus on. Amen. So we are... Now we'll talk about those who never say sorry. Those who never say sorry. They always have an argument. Huh? Never say what? Sorry. Never say sorry. They always have what? An argument. You know, an apology is one of the expressions of repentance. Am I correct? Is one of the expressions, arms of repentance. Are we together? First John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, what happens? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin. Now, the fallen nature always say that it has no sin. It is very natural to the fallen man to say. What does it mean to say you have no sin? Is to have a natural posture. This morning, there's nothing you can do. If you like, put the AC in -5. The Lord has called the ball. If you like, put the AC in -0. The Lord has called the ball. I'm ready. This is how I'll be dressing for the next 4 weeks. Yes. So, one of the things that we picked from the fall is to deflect. Are you together with me? To be deflective at our wrong. Are we here? It's one of the things we picked from the fall. After man fell, he became somebody that deflects. And it is that makes you say you have no what? No sin. During the Bible study, I was teaching about the two innate need or desire of man, which is holiness and greatness. He's put there by God. That we, even the sinner man wants to be holy. I tell you the truth. It's put there by God. And the way to get holiness is through sincerity. And the way to achieve greatness is through what? Faithfulness. But the carnal man gets holiness through pretense. Self-righteousness and self-holiness. And what do I mean by pretense? Talks about deflecting, giving an impression of yourself. Are we together, friends? So it is very natural, not the good kind of natural, but it's very natural for you to want to appear good. And so that way, you find it difficult to say sorry because you have an assumption that when you say sorry, you have convicted yourself. And so you want to deflect. And sometimes the best some of us say is, I'm sorry if, you see, praise God. It's better to tell someone that I know I did not offend you than to tell the person I'm sorry if. There is no sorry if. It's a very bad line. God, you can't be sorry if. Are we together here, friends? So, we have the tendency of saying that we have no sin. When you even see two people driving and they hit themselves. And when you watch from without, from outside, you are wondering who is really offended because both of them are insulting. Say, can't you see? You already said, so can't you see? And you're wondering who bash who? Because the two of them are requesting for claim. They are claiming for damages. And say, who is at fault? You rarely see people who, sometimes people would even clearly bash somebody. And they'll tell person, why were you slow? Why were you? Have you not seen? Say, you were too slow. That's why I bash you from behind. Yeah. Yeah. Are my friends here? So, if to say we have no sin, it's not like you say you are not a sinner. It's about a posture of always fighting not to be wrong. Some people prefer to die than to appear wrong. Are we together here? It is a holy thing to agree that you are wrong. Amen. Some people like to win arguments and lose their life. Are we together here? Be very afraid when you win and you know you are wrong. It means that you have won defeat. Because if you are wrong, you'll be defeated. But if you win, that means that's your path. That's your perpetual path. You need to understand that owning up to your fault qualifies you for grace. You get better for it. Stop trying to win. And those who do this are people who get cut off from the grace of God. He says, if we say we have no sin, we enter into deception. And there is no deception more powerful than self-deception. He says, you deceive yourself. If somebody deceives you, another person can set you free. But if you deceive yourself, nobody can set you free. And if you are the one doing it, you think you are unaware of deliverance. So it's a very, very terrible place to be. And what puts you there is when you like the appearance of always being right. I had to do something this morning that was not very easy. I sent somebody a voice note on something that I thought the person did wrongly. And I just gave it to the person. And I spoke all the English I've accumulated all these years of my existence in that voice note. 30 minutes later, I had evidence without doubt that the person was not wrong at all. Ah! It was a very bad thing. I called the person in the midnight. I said, no, you don't say that. Don't ever say that again. Don't you ever say that again. That's an irresponsible way of speaking. That's midnight. And 2 hours after that midnight, I did another voice note to the person. Do. And by tomorrow, if you don't fix this, and no, that's around 2 a.m. So I troubled the person all night. So I sent that voice note and I went to sleep. I woke up 4 o'clock for the morning devotion. When I woke up 4 o'clock, I took a walk to do my personal prayers. I was walking in church and came into church. I found out that the person was not wrong. At 4 o'clock, I was the one who didn't get it right. Like, it was 100% clear. So when I found that out, I said, Kai. So I went outside to continue my prayer. And as I was walking, the Lord said, what are you praying about? What's your prayer point? I had not done 5 minutes. The Lord asked me, what's your prayer point? You go upstairs and do another voice note. That's the only prayer for today. So I did as if I climbed the step. I did as if I forgot. From the step, I turned back again to go and pray. I said, God, I said, what's the prayer point exactly? I said, go upstairs and do another voice note. That's today's devotion. So I went upstairs, I picked my phone, I said, actually, you were not wrong. I was the one who was wrong. And I completely apologized. But he said, okay, sir. That's what he said on the chat. Only God knows what he said. But if I refuse to apologize, I will enter self-deception. And there are many ways I can turn the matter. I say, well, even if. When you start talking that way, you are already there. Yeah, even though, yes, you want Ben, no. But. You are already entering what? Self-deception. Are my friends here? Right. So it's a very powerful thing that you need to understand that being wrong is not an indictment on your destiny. You are human and you can be wrong. And it's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to be a better person. It's an opportunity to receive the life of God. Stop winning when you are wrong. You know, sometimes husbands will know they are wrong, but they still force it. Anytime you are doing that, you're already operating the spirit of Jezebel. Yeah. Which is not a spirit for the female gender. It's the spirit of illegitimate control. Are you together with me? Illegitimate. Illegitimate leadership. Trying to have leadership in an illegitimate way. Using an illegitimate route. Are we together here? So don't force it. Wives, when you are wrong, don't start crying. They don't bring that card. Are we together here? Am I speaking here? Don't. Well, you are wrong. Don't remember 5 years ago when he was wrong. And now import that old matter into a new discourse. And say, let's forget about this. What about when you... In like Yoruba movie, will now do a flashback. We'll ask you where both of you were in secondary school when you were dating. You remember what you did when we were SS2? How many of you know we have the tendency of doing that, and we do that? Raise up your hand if you know. Decide you will not do that again. Are we together? Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, you're wrong. What do? You own up. You own up. Don't say, I am sorry, right? Sorry for what I did. I was very wrong. I missed it. Even when the person thinks you are right, because there's an information you have that the person does not have, that makes it look like you are still right. You need to submit that information. And say, it's not like that too. It's not like that. There's something you don't know about. This one. You submit it. And then that's how you drop death and receive what? Life. God rewards integrity. God rewards integrity with his glory and his presence. And God does not reward corniness. God doesn't reward serpentine behaviors. Some people, you can't catch them even though you have caught them. Immediately you catch them, they make a room of escape. They can blame their great-grandfather. They can say, it's not me. It's my great-grandfather that behaves like this. I think his blood is inside me. I've been wanting to purge this blood. I don't know which hospital to go. The government don't have hospitals that can purge blood. I don't know what's wrong with Buhari's government. You know, they just... Yeah. This is very common. I see this every day. People escaping like serpents. You need to be, Jesus Christ, one of the ways you get a pure heart, a godly heart, is a particular phrase Jesus used that many of us don't understand. Hey, a few years ago, God taught me this one, and I'm grateful for him. He explained to me, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. God says that's how to talk. And God began to train me on how to talk directly. God says, as a child of God, you need to talk directly. If you know you won't come, don't say, I might. That's to be without power. Yeah. Not talking directly is to be without power. To have the power of God, your yea mustn't be might. And your nay shouldn't be might not. For the power of God to flow, you need to be somebody who speaks directly. You know, a lot of people don't speak directly. Sometimes a lot of people are telling you, I hate you, but the way they will say it, you will think they love you. That's how terrible some of us can be. Are we together here? You must learn direct speaking as a child of God. Direct speaking. You must not cower under fear and say what you don't mean to say. Don't cower under what? Under fear. You have to say exactly. When people leave you, they should know, they should have heard what's in your heart. When people leave you, you know, and that's why you need to be careful. Most people, what they say to you is not what's in their heart. I tell you the truth, it's a very strange discovery. I'm telling you the truth. What they say is not what's in their heart. You know, it's one of the mysteries It's one of the mysteries of men that I'm still trying to solve. Finding out that people can be in front of you and say something and have something else in mind is a very strange mystery to me. And I have experienced it over and over again, and it is a shock to me that people can mean something different and say something different. Hey, like people can dislike someone and keep telling the person every day that they like the person. Very strange. Maybe the person is saying, "Man, I detest his guts." Hey, it's not this person you say, "Ella, I'm so happy." Hey, your nay, you have to be definite. Your nay has to be nay, and your no has to be no. Are we together here? And that's how to also repent and to say that you are sorry, and don't start an argument when you are wrong. Some people, when they are wrong, they scatter everything. They prefer to just scatter everything. Let there be problem. And then the issue, we started with one issue. After a while, we're trying to solve 85 issues. You are laughing because some of you are like that. You just pick another issue, pick everything. Okay, what can we do? Can we first agree? Which problem are we actually solving? Which problem are we solving? Because everything scatters. Are we together here? Praise God. Your wife says you don't call when you go out. You don't call. And the truth is that you don't call. It's the truth. She has just said the truth. Suddenly say, why should I call? Is there ever food at home? Why should I call? I say, how? Is there ever food at home? The other day I came home, there was no food. When I left, I was angry. I dropped my phone somewhere. I dropped it, and since then I've been dropping my phone somewhere whenever I go out. I don't know. We need to solve the issue of food in this house. So cool. Your husband looks at you and says, "You don't do this." What do husbands complain about? I just say, "You don't do this." You just start crying. I say, "Well, I'm not loved in this home. We will love you later. Can we just discuss?" I don't know. I've been trying to tell you since last week. I'm not loved. Hey, if you try to tell me it's like you. Serpentine spirit. Tell the person beside you, don't be a serpent. Don't be a serpent. Tell the man beside you, don't be a serpent. Don't be a dragon. Tell another person, we have caught you already. We have caught you. God's children shouldn't be like that. Yes, stop sleeping. You are sleeping into bondage. I tell you, you are sleeping into corruption. That you are wrong doesn't mean you are condemned. Yes, Jesus Christ said the reason why you are blind is not because you are blind. That to be blind and agree that you are blind is sin. He says you are blind because you see that you are not blind. That's why. You are blind because you say you are not. That if you are blind and agree you are blind, you have started seeing. But you are blind. Say you are blind. Say, what's wrong? Why am I blind? Am I blind? Is it not me that came from Oshodi last week? But somebody helped you. Say, forget. Even if the person does not help me, I will get there. Say, you are blind. Everybody knows. He said, no, forget that. You people are victimizing people whose eyes are temporarily shut. He said, you are blind. Blind. Don't escape. Where are you escaping to? Why do you want to escape into a lie? Anytime you escape, you enter a lie. Are you with me? Stop. I need to stay here. Stop trying to escape. Are my friends here? Stop trying to escape. We have caught you.
And it's not a special thing to catch you. You are not God. They will catch you weekly. Are you together with me? And that's why God has told us to forgive you 74 times daily, because you are wrong. It's okay. Wives, are you listening to me? These are some of the major crises in homes. Major. When they catch you, you create more crisis. Can I tell you something? One of the ways you are going to get people to trust you is when you agree, when you are caught. It builds confidence. One, the person will have confidence in you, and even when you catch the person would also surrender. You need to open up. Are we together here? When somebody is apologizing and you know the person should not apologize, don't receive. Tell the person, you shouldn't be the one apologizing on this issue. I should be the one begging you. You are right. You are very right. Babe, you are very correct. I'm wrong. I'm telling you, I'm wrong. And I pray that I can be a better person. You see, because when you are not wrong, when you are wrong and you say you are not wrong, you have taken hope out of that relationship. What does that mean? It means that person must live with this wrong forever. There's no hope for change. When there's repentance, there's hope for change. When there's no repentance, there's no hope for change. And when somebody sees that there's no hope, the person will not be in the best of his behavior. Why is it there's no hope? You too, you have to look for how to just be happy by yourself. Because this person is not going to change. Amen. See, men, never allow your wife's escape. I want to encourage you. I know this will cause trouble in your house, but see, current trouble is better than an accumulated one. If you keep allowing your wife escape with different tactics, are we together here? And I did not say go and fight your wife. If you fight your wife, I will not be able to solve the problem. But I'm saying, don't, a lot of men say, because, I see a lot of funny, is it memes or what do they call it? I see a lot of funny ones. They say, the woman is always right. If you want peace, you should. Very strange things I used to see. That because of peace, you have to agree with a woman. I used to see all those strange. What kind of peace is that? You are just saving crisis. So because of peace, just agree. And the women too will be, happy about that. So the woman, I saw one that said, if you are wrong, and your wife is right, he says, you are wrong. If you are right and your wife is wrong, you are wrong. If you are wrong and your wife is wrong, you are wrong. And there's one last one. I can't remember the last one. Eh? If you're right and your wife is right, then she's right. And people were excited about it. They say, women, that's woman power. That's the spirit of Jezebel. That's a controlling spirit. That's not how the Holy Spirit will lead a home. If you are wrong, you are the one that is wrong. Don't say, because of peace, you are now become a man who is not in charge of your home. Now, you can't force somebody to change you. That one, I've told you severally. Everybody must have a relationship with God. If your spouse, your wife, or your husband wants to be a devil, let them be a devil. But that you will not say somebody is wrong because of peace. You are deceiving yourself. You are very wrong. This is a bad part. You shouldn't be like this. But if you say you are right, that's you. That's you and your Jesus. But you are wrong. Let's continue life. And you enjoy it. You will force yourself to enjoy whatever is. It's a bit more difficult, but you have to. It's too early to be angry. It's just how many minutes to 9. Wait for 30 more minutes before you start getting offended. Are we correct here? Jide, why are you folding your hand? Why are both of you folding your hand? Is it the code? Yeah. All right. I was wondering.
The way before, if we used to listen to someone holding yourselves together, but just. I don't know. Maybe I'm addressing some marital. I don't know. I'm just doing the work God sent me.
So stop raising arguments when you are wrong. And don't say you didn't know you are wrong. Why won't you know? Are you a non-living thing? Are you a non-living thing? Even those who are not saved, the Bible talks about how the law of God is in their hearts. In the book of Romans. Those without the Holy Spirit, without new creation, without the Holy Spirit, they know right from wrong just by being a human being. Talk less of you. You have Holy Spirit, you have conscience, and you still don't know whether you are a liar. All of us know when we are right or wrong. We know every time. All the time. You don't need growth to know. And stop telling yourself you don't know. Somebody lift up his right hand. Lift up your right hand. Everybody here. Say, I know when I'm wrong. And I put it down. I know when I'm wrong. I always know when I'm wrong. And I try to own up to it and say, boy, I'm wrong on this. And my friends here. See, this message has been prepared a long time ago. I've not added anything to it. It's an old message. I've not updated it. So if you think maybe I'm talking about you, you're deceiving yourself. When I wrote it, I didn't know much about you. It's just that the message is talking about you. It's confronting you. You're a bad person. Bad person that we should be afraid of. You are number 13. In this topic, you are number 13. Those who never say sorry, who always come up with an argument. They are in the Bible. Let's check Numbers chapter 16. It's a very demonic thing, very dangerous thing. Should I reduce the AC or take it off? Or? Oh, you're good now. Right. Pastor, please, can you put that this in? I'm afraid. As I thought, I looked at you, I said, is it like all of you just... It's more fashionable like that. If you need any of this, just see Martinez. Martinez will get it for you. Yeah, before Sunday. What I mean by need is desire to purchase. That need is desire to purchase. I think I'm getting more points. Those who want free things. I'm getting more points. They are polluters of heavenly atmospheres. Repellers of prosperity. Those who want free things. That will be number 22. You watch them. Who always want you to give them things for free. All your business, they want you to sow for them for free. Say, what are friends for? To wreck one another. We can call it those who never pay. Those who hate to pay. Numbers chapter 16. Give somebody a microphone. Let the person read for me. Numbers chapter 15. If the person doesn't read it well, the person becomes number 23 in this. Well, you need to read it well for there to be a flow. Who's reading? All right, who's reading? Read Numbers for me. Anybody's there? All right, Bola wants to read. You start from... Let's start from verse 1, but it's a long read, but you can start.
Now Korah, the son of Izzel, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, son of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representative of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy."
I don't even know the meaning of that offense. The offense they had against Moses, he says, "You take too much upon you." What does that offense mean? Who wants to? Eh? Your own is too much. Eh? Are we here? It says you take too much upon yourself. All right?
Every one of them, and the Lord is among them.
Why no, 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 you have missed the part. Read it again.
You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy.
Are you see, people who want to, the route is to make everybody equal. We are all brothers. Amen. Listen, if I don't teach you these things, you will naturally fall into them. They need to be taught. If I just say, just be, you won't be able to track these things. So we're all the same. You know, in Christ, we are equal. You know, doesn't this sound powerful? It sounds true. So, you know, in Christ, we're all equal. There's this thing, there's this. The church, we are the church. You are the church. The church is not a building. They sound very... And that's why people who don't know the Bible, who don't know the Lord, who are just given to sound bites, are easily deceived. All right. Can we read this verse 3 in another? Show us another translation, maybe the NIV. All right. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far." Let's read another version, please. And they gathered together again, Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "Enough of you. You take too much upon yourselves." Another one.
They came up as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron.
No. I just want to enjoy other versions. Give me the verse, the one I don't like. Message. Yes, is that message?
Yes.
Yeah, read message.
They came up as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have overstepped yourself."
You have overstepped yourself. Koja here. This entire community is holy. Now you see, they came against him. They put an indictment on him, and they introduced a theology that is easy to accept. They didn't come with evil theology. They came with a theology that is easy to accept. All right. Can you read? Go back to the proper versions.
All the congregation is holy.
Yeah.
Every one of them. The Lord is among them.
Mm-hmm.
Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?
Wow. 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 Is that not a wow? God chose for them a leader. And God said, "Why did you exalt yourself above the people?" And you see that you need to be careful of people who don't appreciate leadership. Who like to normalize everything, casualize everything. Praise God. That's why I watch people who don't like to call people pastors. Sometimes it's not that innocent. Sometimes. Many times it is. But other times it's not. Yeah. I need to watch. Say, you know, we're all brothers. Say, Idara, how are you? Say, no. In this community, she's a pastor. Yeah. Keep it that way. Avoid that demon. Are we correct here? Avoid that demon. Don't normalize things. You see, honor is what? Cornet of Transaba, I used to call honor as, how did I pray it? Yeah, the value you place on difference. Honor is the value you place on difference. So how do I know you? How do you honor me? Is that you spot difference and then you decide to put value on it. The value you put on it is the honor you have given. Are we together here? So you have to spot difference. Even in friendships, sometimes it's not even balanced, some friendships. And it's okay, not all friendships have to be equal. You can have a friendship where you give honor to that friend more than the friend gives you honor, because you see difference somehow. You see, notice people who are better than you. Are we together? Huh? Because let me explain this to you. The tank that will give water must be the one up. The one that will receive must be the one down. What makes you, why you should want to be up is that you have water. Now, if somebody has the water that you need, you don't receive it by being equal with that tank. I say, you know, guy, I just like what you have. You just have something so powerful. You know, just powerful. You're my guy. And then you now carry your tank and put it. That you are standing in the same place does not mean water will talk. For water to enter inside you, you come down. That's how there can be a flow. The tank that wants to receive must be willing to come down. That's the sign that somebody wants to receive. That's why I am jealous of humble people. You see, I don't like humble people around me, because I'm a very competitive person. Whenever I see somebody who is humble, I say, Kai, this person wants to collect everything. And many years ago, I had this person, one of my disciples. This person, whenever he's around me, he doesn't talk too much. Even when we're discussing. And then it's always awkward when he doesn't talk. Because I get to, you know, sometimes when you're talking with somebody, when you finish one thing and the person is not giving you response, you have to continue. I will just keep talking and talking. I say, you know, so do you understand that the story of Abraham and Moses? Now, Moses saw God as El Gibor. Abraham saw God as El Ruach. And I'll be explaining the thing. And the guy said, wow. And when I finish saying what God said, wow, I'll pick it again. And I notice that this guy is just draining me. Because he's allowing me to speak. You know, sometimes you meet people who know more than you, but you want to make them know you too, you know little. So when they tell you Moses is this, Abraham said, in fact, that was exactly what God was showing me yesterday. That just yesterday, in fact, God took it a little further. And the flow stops. Because you want to be at par. Listen, even if you are full of water, and there's a tank that has small water, you can still collect from that tank. You stay down. Let him give you what he has. And so it's not a big deal if people think you are nothing. You will keep receiving. You will keep receiving. Are we together here? Yeah, you're reading some.
So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy.
Everybody's holy. Tomorrow we'll find out. We'll find out who is holy.
And we'll cause him to come near to him.
And listen, the response of God. This is not even my... We're going somewhere. The response of God to rebellion is immediately. Yeah. Is how? Immediately. It's immediately. I tell you the truth and I lie not. The spirit realm responds to rebellion immediately. It doesn't respond later. Something short. A mindless rebellion, something shot in the heaven. Immediately. There are other, maybe one of these days we'll look into it. Because if one of the things I've looked in and I've really repented of this, you see, one of the places I have thought I've done well is loyalty and commitment. I pride myself to have done it well. But when God began to reveal these things to me, hey, I repented. I repented. Until today, I'm still repenting. I'm like, God, I have not done well. Yesterday, I still repented yesterday. I've been repenting for days now, for weeks. I'm just repenting. I say, Lord, have mercy. Because it's such a serious matter. Heaven shuts immediately when there's rebellion. Because this order is what describes the Trinity. What it represents, order and leadership and government. It's a description of the character of Trinity. So when you break it, you break the Godhead, so to speak. Do you get my point? You break a principle of the Godhead. And then you get a feedback immediately. You don't get a feedback later. You get a feedback when? Immediately. Something happens. The day a wife rebels against her husband, something happens. Yeah. When a wife rebels against her husband, her heaven is locked. I tell you the truth. It's shut. I'm not lying to you. If it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. The heavens is shut, and until our heart is right, before that thing will open again. Our heaven is shut. You try it. Go to the office and rake for your boss. No, you just go. Go to the office and say, Oga, Koripeo. You go and do it. Go and do it. Go and do it and think that something will not happen immediately. You know, there are things you do that something might not happen immediately. If you don't send a mail you are meant to send, something might not happen immediately. If you come late, something might not happen immediately. But if you confront your boss, something happens when? Immediately. It will happen later. There's no let's be checking it. There's no query. Straight up. The next day you go to office, the feeling of the office will not be the same again. The atmosphere has changed for you. It did not change for your boss. The atmosphere did not change for your boss. The atmosphere changed for you. You will be noticing hardness in your heart. Everyone will be tight. It will be as if the chairs are no more comfortable. It will be as if you are walking on eggshells. Because you have broken something in the spirit. You did not notice. Anytime you confront an authority figure, it's not well with you again. Your heart will be pounding. Boom, boom. You'll be doing a giddy to make it not to pound. Say, I'm not going to take it again. I can't. It's actually yourself. You are trying to calm down. Is the lack of peace. Your heart does not have peace. The day a woman looks at her husband and confronts her husband and breaks that thing, she won't remain the same. And if she does not repent, she'll be getting worse. Say, I'm fighting for my right. Even later, her face should be coming ugly. Her face will not be shrinking. I tell you the truth. She'll be angry. Her blood pressure will be rising. Yeah. She'll cut off from favor. She'll be losing business deals. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Are my friends here? Yes, sir. I read.
That one whom he chooses, it will cause to come near to him.
Yeah.
Do this. Take censers.
Yeah.
Pour and hold your company.
Yeah.
Put fire in them.
Yeah.
And put the incense in them before the Lord tomorrow.
All right. You know what, Bola? The verses are so much. And then I have two or three points I want to give today. So jump to 28.
And Moses said,
yeah.
By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works.
Yeah.
For I have not done them on my own will.
All right.
If these men die naturally like all men.
Yeah.
Or if they have
visited. So you see, leadership, hear me. Leadership is not by man's will. That's the challenge. Anytime you confront and oppose leadership, it's not man. Because it's not a man's will. It's usually God. So the way to quickly slap God, if you want to get to God quickly, maybe God is too far, and you want God to know he doesn't have sense, tell your leader. If you have been looking for how to tell God your head is not correct, and you know it's in heaven, how will we get there? It will take time. And you want to quickly deal with him, confront your leader. then God will say, wow, this guy's hand has reached my face. Wow, this guy is also a god. Because that's how God installs himself on the earth. It's via leadership. So Moses said, I'm not here by my will. That's why I don't abuse the president of Nigeria, for example. Never. I might not like him. I might say I don't like him. I might say I don't like what he's doing. But I would say the president is wearing pampas. The president is a crazy man. The president is a useless man. Is to quickly face God. And that's even natural leadership. But Romans told us that it's still God that instituted natural leadership. Praise God. If a Emilio come becomes president, I start praying for him. The day he becomes president, I start praying for him. I pray he doesn't, but if he becomes, I start praying for him. It's only going to take God for him not to be. Yeah. As this is going like this, it's only God. Yeah. Obi might be fought. Oh. Nigeria, you are playing with. Be making noise. Huh? You see, they are not asleep, people. It's not in the game. It's in the game in your brain, in your mind. You disagree with me. I'm not saying no disagree. It's not in the game. It's not in the picture. Do you know how big Nigeria is? Do you know how wide Nigeria is? Nigeria is wide. Nigeria is huge. Let me tell you something. Why did the answers stuff? Why did it end the way it ended? Because those who are not for answers are times 1 trillion of those who are for answers. It's just that the ones who are for it are the ones showing their face. The ones who are not for it are plenty. By the time the government began to call the ones who are not for it, when they entered it, they started beating. You see, they used, is it not the people they used to, they wanted to carry military inside the place. They now call their boys, Shaq Juwambe. I'm only one. How much day will they do? All right, Moses said, G50,000. Okay, I'm going to go to the house. They are the ones that made that thing violent themselves. But who did they use? So those who are, the youth who are against Peter Obi are more than the youth. So I'm thinking is the youth candidate. Tinubu is the youth candidate. Tinubu is the candidate of the youth. They are not just talking about obedience. It's better than sacrifice. No, Allah. The youth are more. The candidate of the youth is Tinubu. That's just by the way. I don't want you to understand. I can't vote for Tinubu. Because it's difficult for me to vote for Tinubu and still pray for a better Nigeria. Yes. Whatever Nigeria will become through Tinubu, Lagos has become. And I don't want Nigeria to be like Lagos. You get the point. Lagos is one of the worst cities in the world. But you have gone through too much destruction of mind that you think is a good city. Lagos is one of the worst cities in the world. There is nothing working in Lagos. Emphasis on nothing. I did not say nothing carelessly. I said nothing intentionally. Are you together with me? You don't have water. Water, there's no water in Lagos State. The water system is not working. How many of you have received a bill from Water Corporation? There's no water. I just said, let me just digress 3 minutes. There's no water in Lagos. So that I can protest my nothing. There's no electricity in Lagos. Are we together with me? There is no housing in Lagos. Are you together with me? I'm not saying it's improving. I said there is no housing. I mean, you can go and live in all those houses they built for those Lagos homes they built. You can't afford it. So there is no housing for the masses. The houses are for themselves. So there is no housing in Lagos. There is no road in Lagos. There is no road in Lagos. Now, there is no transportation in Lagos. You have few BRT vehicles up here and there. There is no transport system, like a functional transport system. You go to a proper park everywhere. You have a time where the bus will leave. You know, we are still walking like there's a crusade every day. Are you together with me? Wait now. There is no education. There is no education. Yes, sir. Because all of you here, the sign of poverty is that your child is going to a public school. Public school is a sign of poverty. Healthcare, and there is no healthcare. If I hear you are in loot, I'm afraid. I'm not happy. I don't want you to be in loot. Yes, sir. That you have gone to government hospital scares me, because I'm imagining your debt. You understand? If you tell me you are in a private university, I believe that, because I don't know what's going on with you. Maybe you are still on the corridor looking for bed. You understand? And all of that. So you say, so there is nothing working. The only thing working is that the politicians have a lot of money. So I can't vote Tinubu, and I'm praying for better Nigeria. God might slap me, because Tinubu has manifested himself. You understand? And funny enough, what they used to campaign for him is Lagos. So they have let you know what they will do. That you see Lagos, you see Lagos. So that's their plan for you. You understand? So, but again, who am I? Whatever you vote for, how does it? It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect anything. So I will most likely not vote for Tinubu. Of course, his brother also Atiku. I don't have a reason to vote for both of them. So most likely, as he's going, I will most likely vote for Obedient. As I'm not saying definite. The election is still a year away. I can vote for Obedient or Kwan Kwaso. I can vote Kwan Kwaso. It's still. Disguised Tinubu. I'm going to go across. Where am I before the enemy took this message? Yes. All right.
If these men die naturally like all men.
You see, if they die naturally like all men.
Or if they are visited by the common fate of all men.
If they are visited by common fate of all men.
The Lord has not sent.
So the point is not their death, is that it has to be a special death. Are you with me? So don't joke with leadership. All right. But even that's not the topic today. Let's read.
But if the Lord creates a new thing.
A new thing.
And the head opens its mouth.
He would do a new thing. A new. We have to see a kind of death we have not seen before. And the head opens its mouth.
And swallows them up.
And swallows them up.
With all that belongs to them.
Uh-huh.
And they go down alive into the pit. Uh-huh. Then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord.
Was the Lord. So that's what leadership represents. It's the Lord. So don't be rude to leadership. Don't be rude to policemen. That's why a lot of you never have favor with policemen. Your soul is not right. The policeman is a leader. It was the government that put him there. When you see him, greet him well. Don't say all these useless people on the road again. You might be correct in a breath. In another breath, you are not. Let's read. You see the strengthening in this verse. 30, now it came to pass.
Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the head opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with all their household, and all the men with Korah, and with all their goods, so they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the heads closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the head swallow us up also. And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed 250 men who were offering incense. And the Lord spoke to Moses.
Those were the 250 that they took. So it's not just the leader of rebellion. The company of rebellion, yeah.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censer out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away. The censers of these men who sin against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates.
You see, because the leadership is God's, is a representative of God, and it's for your soul. So you reject God and you offend your own soul. All right, let them be what?
Made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, because they presented them before the Lord. Therefore, they are holy, and they shall be a sign for to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censer, which those who were burned up had presented, and they were hammered out as
so
a
you covering. Can see this, your God. You collected their censer, the bronze, and said, the censer is holy, and then it's my own. Man, say, it's God there. Let's keep reading.
Covering on the altar,
yeah,
to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense,
yeah,
before the Lord, that it might not become like Korah and his company.
To a memorial for you not to become like Korah. So it means that what I do, I will do again. It's not one off. This is not just, it's not that I don't know what I'm doing. I will repeat this act. It says so you can subscribe to this particular package. Are we together here? It is Aaron and Moses are ordered to offer incense. You can't step into leadership except I'm the one that bring you there. Stop thinking you are better or you are deserving or you are this or that. Why? It says don't try it. All right.
That no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord,
uh-huh,
that it might not become like Korah and his company,
uh-huh,
just as the Lord has said to him through Moses.
All right.
And on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord.
Wait there. Did you see? Can you see? Ground open. Swallow people alive. Fire came. Leaked 250. And the congregation still came and complained against Moses. And said, you have killed the people of the Lord. Are you seeing that? People who never say sorry and always have an argument. That is a bad condition of the soul. That with all the proof that God gave, imagine, see, that means if Moses was the one that did the teaching and says, you know, rebellion is not good, that means they can't even believe. Because if when God came to do a judgment, they still have argument. What about Moses saying? Are you together with me? That's like, husband, don't stress yourself. Wife, don't stress yourself. Just pray. See people who ground open. They did not change. You see, to think you can change men is a strange thing. Just pray for them, that God will touch them. But I pray you will not need prayer. Amen. I pray you will not need prayer. Amen. It says, you have killed the Lord's people. You have killed the Lord's people. What's wrong? You have killed the Lord's people. They did not say anything with Moses. Moses did not touch anybody. It was the Lord who moved. But yet, to just accept. These people were meant to come and repent. Friends, learn to repent too. And don't raise up an argument when you have been caught. It is the mercies of God. Are we correct here?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's read.
Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, as they turned towards the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from amongst this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.
Wait. Excuse. God told me, excuse me. Friends, if you are someone who doesn't, who give an argument when you are wrong, This is God's plan for you. It's judgment. Get away from among this congregation, all right? I may consume them. When? In the future.
In a moment.
It's an immediate judgment. It's an immediate judgment. Huh?
And they fell on their faces.
Yeah.
So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar. Put incense on it and take it quickly to the congregation.
Quickly.
And make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord.
The plague has begun.
Then
Aaron, what? The plague has begun. So there is an ongoing plague on rebellion against leadership. What you are seeing here is the reason why a lot of people are not blessed. They speak ill of leadership. Yeah. A lot of people, if you can do spiritual investigation, a lot of people are not blessed because of this. Never. Listen, this is a code in the spirit. You remember what we read in the book of Jude? Don't go there. He said, even Michael did not raise a rallying accusation against Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. It's leadership structure. Even though Lucifer had gone bad, he still retained it. Are we together here? So you have to, one, never lead a rebellion. Two, never be around it. Don't respond to what's happening on the social media. Don't say, don't abuse that it's you. Don't abuse Oyedepo. Even if what you have all the evidence, just keep quiet. Because it is God that put them there. It's God. There's no activism in the kingdom of God. Activism is a weapon of the flesh. And it's not allowed in the kingdom of God. Am I preaching here? But to this point is that you can see all these guys. All right, really, let's wrap it up.
Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people.
Uh-huh.
He stood between the dead and the living.
Ah.
And so the plague was stopped.
Uh-huh.
Now those who died in the plague were 14,700 besides those who died in the Korah incident.
All right, so, it's okay. 14K. 14,700. Pastor Zach, this Old Testament. The Bible says the Old Testament, all these things was written so that we might learn. He said they were written for example. Example. Can example ever be wrong? For example. Can it be wrong? When they teach you mass, is the example wrong? You say example is Old Testament. That's a simpler one. Classwork is tougher than this. Don't joke with leadership. The challenge many of you have is that when you see leadership, you see men. That's the problem you have. When you see leadership, don't see men. See God. Because anything you do will be taken as against God. Well, Zach, is this men worship? Is God worship, not men worship? It's God. Just see God and leave it like that. And you can see I'm not even talking only spiritual leadership. I'm talking everywhere you see leadership. Everywhere you see it. Political, business, anywhere you see. Whoever people are respecting is God that made it like that. Join the queue. Praise God. Any kind of leadership. Listen, today, if I see Dangote or Brigitte, I won't say this one who is not saved. You get out. You better come to the knowledge of Christ. No, no, no. I will afford them respect and honor. Because they are dignitaries. It's a strange spirit to speak ill and to dishonor dignitary. Yeah. Are we together here? Go to Revelation chapter 16. So you see these people, with all that they saw, they still were not repentant. They still began to raise an argument. Revelation chapter 16. Start from verse 8. Quickly. Put it up on the screen. 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. So one of the ways you give God glory is what? Repentance. They did not repent and give God glory. Huh? The next verse. Are we together here? And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. So it's a very lack of repentance is a grave thing. It is not, don't take it with levity. When you see your fault and you are willing to make arguments, you are further stepping into bondage. Don't. It's a weighty matter. It's a matter that should cause you a lot of soberness. And if you are doing that today, you have to really, really repent. If you have someone who has lived that way, you have to really, really repent. These guys went through stuff. The God who had the power over the plagues had plagued them. But they still did not repent. So you see, when you repent, you don't become less. You actually give God glory. So God is waiting for your repentance. God is waiting for you to take responsibility of your actions. Are we preaching here? Let me show you another scripture. Of course, we can't talk about another one today. I wanted to give you two things, but I think one will be enough. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Read quickly, while I read fast for me, Genesis chapter 4. You have to read fast and read loud. Genesis chapter 4. Start from verse 1. Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Now Adam knew Eve his wife.
Yeah.
And she conceived and bore Cain.
Yeah.
And said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again.
So when she gave birth to Cain, what did she say? I've acquired a man from God. Right.
Then she bore again. This time, his brother Abel.
Yeah.
Now Abel was a keeper of sheep.
Yeah.
But Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Yeah.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat.
Yeah.
And the Lord respected Abel and his offering.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not respect Cain and his offering.
Mm.
And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell.
Can you see? Listen to me, friends. It is more. That's why we need to teach this. That what I'm teaching you is not natural. Your flesh does the other one. Your flesh naturally raises an argument. To escape from wrong is your natural nature. But now you are a new creation. You need to employ the new creation nature. That God did not receive his offering. His response was what? Anger. And his countenance what? Fell. So you would have thought, theology, mentally you think, if God is angry with somebody, the person's response will be repentance. But I'm telling you the truth is, many times our response is anger. I'm telling you, when they catch you are usually angry. When you are wrong, you are usually angry. And then when you're angry, you need a justification. You now begin to raise other issues that is not the issue. Are my friends here?
So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry?
Why did God say, why are you angry? Because he doesn't expect you to be angry. Why are you angry? So anger is not a proof of righteousness. And see, don't be in the bondage of angry people. Because sometimes when somebody who is angry, you meet somebody who is angry, you think the person is justified. That's how we judge, naturally speaking. But sometimes the angry can be the wrong person. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
and when you are angry, don't always equate your anger for righteousness. Not only because you are angry, you are right. You can be angry and wrong. Listen, this matter I'm preaching is a very important matter. God wants us to take seriously. I tell you the truth. It is what hinders the flow of life in relationships. Life stops flowing. He said, why are you angry? Uh-huh.
Why has your countenance fallen?
If you do well. Read it there.
If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it.
You should rule over it. Are you together with me? Sin, so, that you have not done well is introduction to sin. With repentance, you can throw it away. Without repentance, it will have you. Listen, imagine, see, from anger to murder. This guy eventually killed Abelu. He didn't kill his enemy, he killed his brother. His brother did nothing to him. But because he's angry. Alright?
Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?
Can you see? The first time they caught him angry, because he was wrong, he was angry, they confronted him. The guy did not repent. Now, can you see it has progressed to murder? They still confronted him again. He said, am I my brother's keeper? I do not know where he is. And am I my brother's keeper? Like, when did you tell me to start looking for? You did not tell me to be looking for, to always look for Ibelu. Is it my work? I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?
All right, and then. He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the heads.
Cursed.
Which has opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face, I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
All this condemnation that happened to this guy is just refusal. Sit down there. It's just refusal to repent. He didn't have to go like this. If he had to go like this, God would have judged him from day one. God was sitting in him, seeing lies. God still had faith in him. God said, you should rule. You rule via repentance. That's how you rule against sin. You repent. How do you repent? You can't repent and be angry. Because anger is the natural way we think we are justified. You have to repent completely. You can't repent and be angry. Are we here, friends? How many of you believe this is a serious matter? This is a very grave matter. And when you feel anger, when you know you are meant to repent, you need to deal with it. I said that's not the most important thing. That's even nothing. This wrong is my wrong. Father, I'm sorry for this, Lord. Forgive me, dear Lord. Then God will bring grace to you. He'll bring mercy to you. He'll bring this blood to you. And then you will rule over sin. What you have repented of will not control you anymore. But you are in bondage of the things that you have not repented of. I think these three examples are enough, don't you think so? I've shown you the rebellion of Korah. I've shown you those who, in the book of Revelation chapter 16, and now I'm showing you Cain. I show you the beginning. I move a little bit, I showed you. I now went to the end and I showed you. And if there was time, I can show you more. And you also understand these things. Are we together here? Father, I thank you for your children. I think you should take a minute or two to first repent of your years and moments of lack of repentance. You do that for a minute, and then another minute, you look at the things that are currently going on in your life and begin to repent. Look at me. Let me tell you what you are going to do. I'm doing three things. You're going to repent of all the times you didn't repent, all the times you raised an argument or an excuse that didn't make you look as bad as you are. You repent of it. You say, Father, I'm sorry I did that. You know, when you were meant to repent, or you say, it's the woman that you gave me, is it this, that, is this, that, you repent. Or it's my father, because of how my father, you know, did this, you repent of all of that. Meaning you are taking full responsibility of all the things you have done in the past. Secondly, you are going to now repent before the Lord of all the issues on ground that you are wrong on. Are you with me? And that you have not repented completely. Now you repent completely. The third thing is, after you leave this service, you go and repent and apologize to all the people that you know you have offended. And tell them how sorry you are, even if they don't know. But you know. Because you are not a non-living thing, you are a living thing. And you know when you are wrong. Now this is how you will rescue yourself from the destruction of Cain, destruction of Korah, and those who saw in the book of Revelations. If you don't, there will be a repetition. The Bible is eternal. All right, I give you some minutes to do that now. No, don't play music. There's nothing interesting about what's up. Just take some time and, Father, I repent of all the things that have happened that I skimmed my way into righteousness. I did not repent as I should have. You say, Father, forgive me for those actions. If it's towards your spouse, if it's towards your friend, if it's towards this nation, you just repent.
Ask God to search you. Ask God to set you. And right now, begin to remember current issues now. And the ones that come to your mind, the ones that haven't come, God will bring them when necessary. But the ones that come to your mind, you can now repent of them. Repent of not repenting. And if you repented, of not repenting well enough. But this is one of the purgings we need to experience today, even in this service and in this season. All the excuses that you gave, God doesn't forgive excuses. Let go of it. And finally, before the Lord, tell the Lord that you shall now go and, repent properly and have the conversations you need to have, send the messages you need to send, and not expecting any kind of response from the people. Not expecting any kind of response or whatever kind of closure or whatever. It could be your husband, it can be your wife. Tell it before God now, Father, I'm not willing. I think God is also particular about marriages, relationships. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name I prayed. Father, I thank you for all my friends, my brothers and my sisters. I ask, O God, that a fresh revival breaks upon their hearts. Amen. As we purge ourselves of self-righteousness, as we purge ourselves of lack of repentance, let your glory now fill the spaces in our hearts. Let your glory fill the spaces in our hearts. To the glory of your name. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Jesus.